Hello, everybody. My name is Ian Moley. I lead the student ministry along with Carolina Montesinos over there. Hey, and woo! Come on, students. It's an exciting time. We are most of the students. Many of the students are on break. Who's on? Anybody not on break? Is anybody still taking lectures? Okay, a few. Well, sorry, but the rest of us are outside, either enjoying the sun or studying for exams or working on their dissertation. Right off. Come on. It's kind of a slowing down a bit, but there's still plenty of action on campus. And just on Friday, Georgina was baptized into Christ. See, we met at Tom and Becky's house, and we dipped her into the bubbling waters of their jacuzzi. No, I still don't think it counts unless you have to chip away at the ice. But a jacuzzi baptism is still a baptism. And I just want to say welcome to the family. It's awesome. Really happy for you. It's been a crazy weekend for me. I'm leaving for China tomorrow, which is really, really exciting. I've been, packing. Actually, it's a lie. I haven't done any packing yet. But I've been preparing in my mind, you know, for this amazing trip to China. I spent yesterday with my girlfriends. I'm getting back at her because she went to Nigeria for 2 weeks back in April and March. And so I'm just kidding. It stinks for me. But I learned something. We went on this date yesterday and I learned something great about her, about Fumi here. I learned that I can't tell her that I like anything. Because if I tell her that I like something, then the next thing she does is she goes out and she buys it for me. And then I feel all terrible for telling her that I like it. And so I was at Harrods, and that's where she works, and I'm admiring these, they're like travel items. She saw this like bags and briefcases and stuff, and there's this really cool like wallet thing, and you put your passport inside and your boarding card. And I was like, I just said, man, I would always love to have one of these, you know, because you look all professional, and you kind of, you know, if they ever bumps you up to first class or business class, I would look like I could play the part. And she's just like, okay, great. And then 2 days later, she went and got me this really, really cool, like, just makes me look totally professional. I've got my passport in here. I can put my business cards right there. This is awesome. I mean, so I feel like I'm ready to go to China as long as I don't lose this thing. I hope I don't lose it. Please pray for me while I'm over there. It's going to be a great trip. I'm so excited. I'm visiting my friend Zach in China, and I'm hoping that they're going to put me to work. I'm going to share communion while I'm there, share about all the work going on in London, and hopefully I'll get to study the Bible with some locals. And I've always wanted to do that, study the Bible with a communist Chinese guy. It's exciting. It's illegal. And our churches there are illegal, underground, and you won't find anything about them on the internet or any websites or any kind of contact information, because if the government finds them out, they can kick them out or put them into prison. And so that just fires me up, though. Here it's completely fine, it's legal, we can meet out in public if we want, but it's completely in secret. They study the Bible with people for months, years, and then they become a Christian. And then they introduce them to the church. Like, as in, we need to keep our church safe. And so after you decide to become a Christian, hey, guess what? You don't have to do this alone. I'll get all of your brothers and sisters. So it really makes me feel grateful for what we have here. You know, we get to meet Jesus in this group even while we're studying the Bible and trying and exploring and figuring things out. And so I'm really excited. Pray for me that they don't kick me out of the country. And I'm sure I'll come back with tons of stories. And I can't wait. It's going to be great. So Luke chapter 9. Let's get into this. If you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you again. We have been going through the book of Luke. And it's been really great. It's been really exciting that Luke starts off his first three chapters as an introduction to the family of Jesus and John the Baptist. And then in chapter 4, Jesus starts his ministry in Galilee. And he starts preaching and he's forming these crowds, and his crowd gets bigger and bigger. And he's doing miracles to show that he is who he says he is. And he starts calling people to follow him. And so for the next 5 chapters, he's just preaching and teaching these guys, training them up, so that they can become preachers themselves one day. He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men, just like I've been doing. And so here in chapter 9, it's kind of a midpoint for Luke's gospel. See, this at the end, in chapter 10, he no longer does anything in Galilee. He starts resolutely heading for Jerusalem. And he starts telling his disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to raise to life again on the third day. And so it kind of changes the atmosphere a bit. It changes the environment. He starts becoming more explicit with what's going to happen, and he speaks in fewer parables and starts, you know, being more straightforward with his disciples. And here in chapter 9, at this midpoint, we're going to look at today Jesus sending out his disciples for the first time. He's been training them, he's been calling them, he's kind of formed this dream team, and he's been teaching them how to do this, but now it's time that you guys go out into all of the surrounding villages. You guys will be the preachers. And it's probably really scary for them, but it's absolutely necessary. Because Jesus, this is his plan. This is his plan to take over the whole world with his teachings. Is I'm going to train you guys, and you guys are going to spread out and cover the world. And so we're going to read about that today. We're going to also look at when Jesus feeds 5,000 men with two fish and some loaves of bread, this is just a really great section. The title of the lesson is The Plan Unfolds. The Plan Unfolds. And so we're going to read starting in verse 1, but first let's say a prayer. Father God, we're grateful to be here today, Lord. It's beautiful weather, the skies are blue, and it's just great to have the windows open and to feel the fresh air, Lord. But there's no place I'd rather be than right here among your people, Father. Enjoying fellowship, singing your praises, being reminded of how great you are through the songs, Lord, and looking, diving into your word, Dad. I'm so happy to be here, Father. And I pray that you speak through me today, to each person here, Lord. You know what we need to hear, if it's encouragement or inspiration or conviction or challenge. Lord, I pray that you touch each person's heart, Lord. And I pray that each person leaves here feeling refreshed and inspired and closer to you and ready to make decisions to become closer to you, Lord. We love you so much. We give this to you. We pray that you are pleased. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, verse 1. Jesus sends out the 12. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if people don't welcome you, just shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. And we'll stop there for a second. We're going to read this in bits. And it's just like I said before, Jesus has now multiplied himself into 12 preachers. And these 12 guys will be able to do what Jesus could not do. And that is infiltrate dozens of villages in a short amount of time. This is Jesus' plan. And there's tons of great things that we can get out of this, the great things that we learn about Jesus. We learn that Jesus is quite strategic. On one hand, he relies on the Spirit. He prays to his Father constantly. His Father tells him what to do. On the other hand, he's been planning this for a while. You guys are going to go to these villages. You're going to focus on these people. Don't bring this, this, and this. This is what you do if they accept you. This is what you should do if they reject you. He's got all of the bases covered. And because if you remember 4 chapters ago, he said, you guys are going to be fishers of men. And I think that when he said that, this is what he had in mind. He's looking forward to the day when I'm going to send you guys out. Right? As Christians, it's so important that we take on the same attitude. That we're constantly diving into new villages, so to speak, meeting new people, bringing new people out to church, sharing our faith and convictions with new people. Why? Because it's Jesus' strategy. This is what he asked of his disciples. This is what he asks of us. We look at the disciples and we learn that they're really obedient. I mean, this is probably really scary for them. Really scary. I mean, so far, all they've had to do is just kind of talk to people, but just kind of point towards Jesus. You know, like, yeah, I want you to meet Jesus, and you've got quite, well, Jesus can answer that, and yeah, Jesus, this is my friend, and just, you guys, kind of talk, and you know, and they're kind of watching Jesus, and they're watching the questions that he asks them, and they're listening to how he responds to all of their questions, and they're just, you know, they're really inspired, and they feel this security being around Jesus. You know, he'll take care of everything. He'll answer all your questions. He knows what he's doing. But now it's like, okay, you guys are going to be the ones who are going to engage. You guys are going to be the ones that are asking the questions and remembering the scriptures and being able to respond to their questions. That's really scary for them, I'll bet. They could have argued, you know? They could have tried to look for a better way. Like, geez, I don't really think I'm ready for this. You know, maybe, yeah, I don't think we should go to new places. Maybe we should focus on the people that we already have. You know, maybe we should just build stronger relationships with them. Like, maybe that's not really my strength. Like, if you reach out to people and I'll talk to them. Like, they could have thought of better ways of doing it to stay in their comfort zone. But because they were obedient, they went from village to village. Very, very inspiring. We learn that Jesus is trusting. Look how trusting he is. He gives them his power and authority over demons. That means you guys are going to represent me. You will represent me. And that, so when Peter enters the town and he says, I have some great news about Jesus, this guy, and he's casting out demons and healing people in the name of Jesus, that means he's representing Jesus. But what if he makes a mistake? You know, what if he fails? Or what if he starts doubting and he can't do any miracles? Or what if he forgets the things that Jesus taught? Anything could go wrong. What if? But Jesus still trusts Peter to represent him. All of the 12 disciples, go out, represent me. I'm giving you my power and my authority. That's awesome that Jesus trusts us. He just knows what can go wrong. Even if you do make a mistake, it's not going to kill anybody. It's not going to kill anybody. You'll learn. It's okay. He trusts us. We also learn that Jesus thinks that relationships are necessary. Jesus thinks that relationships are necessary. Why do you think he wants them to stay with these people when he goes to preach? I can see them, you know, talking to them and just sharing about the gospel and just, you know, telling them what Jesus said and then going off. They don't actually see the disciples' lives. They don't get to see Jesus' teachings lived out. No. You're going to stay with them so they can see your life. They can have conversations deep into the night. That way you're not only explaining the gospel when it's comfortable and when you have energy, but they'll just be able to ask you questions all the time. And he says that you're going to stay in that house. These aren't big British houses. If you've ever been to a developing country, these are probably two-room houses. You've got the door, and then you've got a main room with the kitchen, and then you've got the bedroom where the whole family sleeps. So when they sleep at their house, they're actually sharing a bed. That's pretty intimate. That's pretty that's in my bubble. Okay? This is Jesus' plan. You guys are going to get close. They're going to see your life. Relationships are going to form, and that's how you're going to impact them. It's a good motivation to stay pure, to practice what we preach. Spending time with these guys is important. There's a lot of things we can learn about this passage, but I want to focus on verse 2 for our first point. Jesus sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. My first point is, are you preaching the kingdom of God? Are you preaching the kingdom of God? If I were to ask you what the theme of Jesus' message was, I think I would probably get a wide variety of responses. Some people would say, I think the theme is salvation, man's need for salvation. Other people would say, no, his theme is God's love for us, how much God loves us. No. Actually, his theme is repentance, that we need to be born again, that we need to change our life. See, all of these are elements of Jesus' message, but none of those are actually the theme. He only talks about being reborn twice. Guess how many times he mentions salvation in all the Gospels? 6 times. It's important to him, but it wasn't the theme. The theme of Jesus' message was the kingdom of God. He mentions the kingdom of God over 100 times in his Gospels. Luke 4, verse 43, I must preach the kingdom of God in all the cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. So, are you preaching the kingdom of God? That depends. If you're going to talk about a kingdom, every kingdom has 4 components. And I love talking about kingdoms because I'm a big nerd and I love fiction, fantasy novels of knights and kings, and I annoy my roommate a lot by getting all excited about these things. Every kingdom has 4 components. Number 1 has a ruler or a king, right? Number 2 has subjects, people who obey the king. Number 3, every kingdom has a domain or an area of rule. And finally, every kingdom has laws that all the subjects are to live by. And when we study the Bible to become disciples, to become Christians, we're learning about all 4 of these things. We're learning about our ruler, our king, how awesome God is, about the amazing things that he has done for us, how he sent his son to die for our sins. We're learning about our king. We're learning what is it like to be subjects. That's discipleship. What is it like for us in the kingdom, the church, a group of people who are following this king? We learn about the domain, that there is an inside the kingdom and an outside the kingdom. Everybody inside the kingdom has made Jesus their king. And everybody outside hasn't. And the only way to come into the kingdom is by repenting, making Jesus your Lord and King, and by being baptized into the kingdom of God. We also learn about the laws of the kingdom. Where is this in my notes? It's somewhere. Hold on. There it is. We also learn about the laws. What does it mean to obey Jesus as our King? Jesus has a lot of laws, but they all make sense if you're going to make God your King. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek when they slap you. Purity from lust. Purity from greed. From deceit. I want my subjects, every time they say yes, to mean yes. These are the laws of the kingdom. Does that make sense? We get all of these from this book, which is why we study it so much. When Jesus told his disciples to preach the kingdom, you see, this is what he had in mind. Preaching the kingdom. I can picture their conversations. I can, like, they knock on a house. And like, hey man, you know, like, how do you feel about the Romans and King Herod? And doesn't this kingdom kind of stink? Yeah, you know, guess what? There's this new kingdom coming. You know all of those passages in the Old Testament that talk about this new kingdom coming? It's coming. We've met the guy, the Messiah. He's going to be king. And he's been teaching us. He's been forming this big crowd. He's been doing miracles to prove that he is the king. Do you want to know like some of the things that he's been teaching us? Yeah, well, you know, let me come in. And this conversation just starts about this new king that's coming. And they start winning people one after the other, village after village. As disciples, we're called to be fishers of men. And when you meet people and study the Bible with them, I want you to remember, you're not just bringing them into a fun group. You're bringing them into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. If you're not a disciple yet, I suggest you seek the kingdom of God with all of your heart. Matthew 6:33. Jesus has a whole section on what not to think about. Yes, I know you could be worrying about your clothes, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live. Don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All of those things will be given to you as well, but you just focus on the kingdom. Amen. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to go see Jesus. And just thing we get out of this is that these disciples were amazingly successful. They went out and they did their job. And news spread village to village. It made its way all the way up to King Herod. That's pretty cool. I have nothing else to say about this passage except that's really cool. Okay, verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. We're actually going to stop there. My second point is, do you have any good news to share? Do you have any good news to share? That's a question that we ask every week. At this church, we know that we don't want to let 7 days go by before we see each other again. We actually have a midweek church service every Sunday night, or Wednesday night. And starting the church service is one of the first things that we ask is, who has some good news? What has God been doing? Give us an encouraging report. How's it been going? And we get this idea from passages like this. We didn't just make that up. Hey, let's talk about good news. Actually, Jesus started that pattern. We see the disciples, as soon as they returned, they started reporting to Jesus everything that they had done. These are the people that we met, and this is what I said, and this is what one of them said, and this is how they responded, and this person rejected me, but this person was open, and this guy wants to learn more, but he's busy, so we're going to meet him there. And just, you know, I can see Jesus just getting really excited. Tell me more. And what was it like? You know, his heart is completely in this, because this is the most important thing on his mind, is helping people to enter the kingdom. Matthew 12:34. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Things that excite us overflow. When I saw Avatar, I could not stop talking about that for weeks. Rory, why haven't you seen Avatar yet, man? It's so awesome. You need to go see it. I guarantee you, when I come back from China, I'm probably going to... I'm sorry for me, but that's probably all I'm going to talk about for weeks after that. What is it that you talk about the most? Is it your course, your studies, your favorite football club, your job, your feelings? All of these are great things to talk about. We need to get to know each other. But where does helping people become Christians fall on that list? Where's the mission in your list of priorities? If you're a Christian today, and you're not talking about the mission a lot, what does that say about your heart? You know, maybe you don't want to bring it up in conversation, because you don't want it to come out that you haven't been in a Bible study in months. Maybe you don't want it to be revealed that you haven't had a visitor out to church in months. I don't want to bring it up, because then they'll ask me, how am I doing? And they're going to be all excited, and I'm just going to let them down. You know, I fear for you on Judgment Day if you don't care about the lost like Jesus did. It means that you don't get it. All that talk about the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, so much better than the kingdom of the world. Right. And we're on a mission because we get it. Mm-hmm. Because we know how blessed we've been to be here. And nothing excites us more than helping somebody else get to where we are. Mm-hmm. If you care, you'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. Do you have any good news? I love hearing good news. It increases my faith to hear what God has been doing in your life. I need that. It's great to read the Gospels and see that Jesus heals a leper. That's great. There's no lepers in my life right now. I want to know what God has been doing in your life. That's real to me. That's you're right here talking about it. In the early church, you read through Acts, and it seems that they used to start each meeting with encouraging reports. What has God been doing among the Gentiles? Yeah, tell us. Everybody just wants to know because they all care. And it all ends with them praising God. And that's the point of all of this. When we're in the habit of talking about the mission, talking about what God is doing in our life, we get help, we get direction, we get encouraged to keep going. Yeah, you can do it. But at the end of the day, We grow in our faith because we see what God has been doing. And we end with praising God. I suggest, if this is true for you, if this hit home, that, you know what, I don't talk about it a lot. It's something I don't want to be challenged on. Maybe you realize it's really not high on my priority list. Please confess that. Urgently. Urgently. Get that out. Start talking about it so that we can change. Maybe you are, you are a Christian, you've been a Christian for a while, you are mission focused, but sometimes you just forget things to say, you know, like, oh, what can I share about? And, you know, midweek's going to come and Ian's going to say, who's got some good news? And, I should think of something. I suggest get in the habit of writing it down in a journal or like whatever you use to study the Bible. You know, make that a continual habit, just writing down things that God is doing in your life. Maybe a gratitude list, maybe a prayer list, whatever. But just some list that I'm going to share this with somebody else and encourage their faith. Two rules. Number one, it has to be focused on God. Number two, it has to be for the purpose of increasing their faith. Not to make me look cool, look at how much I've done, but I want you to know what God has been doing. Amen? Do you have any good news to share? Last point. Let's read. Let's go back to verse 10, and we'll read this: Jesus healing, feeding the 5,000. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done, and then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida, which is really cool. They go on a retreat. You know, when you're working hard, like these guys have done, they've done a good job. Okay, now it's time to rest. And a couple weeks ago, the students did just that. We've been working hard all semester, studying the Bible with people, serving people, trying to help. We just need a breather. We need to get away from the city. We went up to Northampton, had a retreat. 65 people from all over England and Scotland were there. It was awesome. Just wanted to throw that out there. Okay, verse 11. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them, poor Jesus, and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And he healed those who needed healing. Jesus is awesome. I mean, he could have been like, no, this is our time. I'll see you on Monday. But, gosh, bless his heart. He's just like, okay, come on. Let's come. And he heals them on their retreat. And what does he talk about? The kingdom of God, because that's his theme. Verse 12, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and they can find food and lodging because we're in a remote place here. But Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, look, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And the disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. This is cool. We see Jesus feeding 5,000 men. So, times 2 if you include women, maybe another 3,000 if you include the kids. And what's cool about this is that all 4 Gospels are different. You know, each Gospel kind of highlights different portions of Jesus' life. But all 4 Gospels has this account in it. That really increases my faith. When you hear something from different sources, all corroborating on the same thing. This happened. And we've got these disciples, you know, they're looking at their watches and they're looking at their food and they're starting to get worried. Have you ever, like, fed people before and you're kind of watching them dig in and you're looking at, like, how much food is left and how many people haven't eaten yet and you're kind of doing these calculations in your head? I think I need to go and cook some more food really quick. You know, you start to get a little anxious. I can picture the disciples doing that on a slightly bigger scale. 5,000 men with 2 fish. So, yeah, they're going to ask some questions. Hey, Jesus, you know, it's getting kind of late. Should we, Jesus, doesn't skip a beat. He just says, okay, look, get them in groups of 50, which is probably this size. So this is about 50 people right here. So a group of about this big. And disciples do it. And once again, they don't argue. They don't find a better way. They just trust their king. Oh, yeah, that's my third point. Trust the king. It works. Trust the king. It works. These disciples, they don't argue, they trust him. And they put him into those groups of 50, and Jesus gives thanks for the food. He, picture him just start breaking off pieces of bread and giving them to his disciples. And it, honestly, I have no idea what this looks like. Just, he's breaking bread and it just kind of appears in his hands again. I don't know. Like, I can picture Jesus healing. I can picture him walking on water. You know, I can picture him even bringing people back from the dead. Like, I can imagine what that looks like. But I have no idea how this looks. Like, maybe he's got a bag, and so you can't really see what's going on in there. He just keeps whipping out like a magician, just more and more loaves of bread, more fish. I have no idea. But guess what? You don't need to see it in order to learn the lesson from this. God will provide all your needs. Even if we can't imagine how this will work, like I have no idea how this is going to add up, God can. Yeah. Trust the King. Mm-hmm. It works. Are there areas in your life that you're worried about lately? Visa situation, relationship issues, family issues, your course, finances. Mm-hmm. You're looking at your bank account depleting, going, Jesus, maybe, you know, I don't know if I can make it through this month. I'm not sure what's going to happen to you in those areas, but I can tell you this. Jesus here multiplies the bread to meet everybody's needs. He's going to do what it takes to meet your needs. We need to do what we need to do. We've got responsibilities, but we don't need to worry about it. That's why Jesus says, don't think about all those things. You just seek the kingdom first. You keep praising God. You keep making disciples. You keep seeking the kingdom. God will turn it into good. Romans 8:28. Whatever happens, God will turn it into good. Amen. I think this is what Jesus has been trying to teach these guys this whole chapter. Look at the beginning in verse 3. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Why? So they can rely on God. Take nothing for the journey. That bag, it says, you know, take no bag. It's not really a handbag. It's the traveling preachers would have a bag that the listeners would donate. And so you're not even going to accept money from these guys. You're just going to rely on God. Jesus wants them to learn this huge lesson. He wants us to learn this huge lesson. Focus on the kingdom. God will supply. Trust the king. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's wrap this up. Luke 9, great section. If this part is the last of Jesus' Galilean ministry. So starting next week, when I don't even remember who's preaching. I'm not going to be here. But Jesus is going to start heading for Jerusalem. But here what we've read today is we see Jesus' plan unfolding. He sends out his 12 guys. I've been raising you up, but now you guys get a shot at being a preacher and living out on the edge. And it's probably scary. It's probably exciting. But it needs to happen because this is how they learn. And this is how they change the world in the book of Acts. We learn a lot from this passage. We learn that Jesus wants us to preach the kingdom of God. Not just a few elements, not just the parts that make us feel good, but the parts that really elevate God as our King. And all of the blessings that come in His kingdom. That there is a boundary that people need to enter the kingdom by making Jesus their King and repenting and being baptized. Preach the kingdom, seek the kingdom. We learn the importance of good news sharing. Encouraging reports. Like, so many people in the world seem to get this concept. The business world gets it. The family world gets it. You know, you talk about what you're doing. Like, how did it go? Tell me about it. How much more so in the kingdom of God? How much more important is the work that we're doing? Let's talk about it. Don't be timid. Don't, put effort into it. On Wednesday, I want to see lots of hands go up. I've got good news to share because I want to increase people's faith. Finally, we see Jesus multiplies fish and bread to meet everybody's needs. He does the impossible for us. Try to think of something that you were worried about a year ago. I bet you can't even do it. Because God just tends to get everything in order. We might not know how it's going to be done, but He supplies us with everything we need. All we need to do is trust Him and to ask. I hope that this is inspiring. I hope it's convicting. I hope that you learned a lot about Jesus, about God, and about His will for you. Thank you guys for listening. To God be the glory.